Welcome to Boston's Best, a podcast where you go behind the scenes with financial planner Mark Condon as he asks industry-leading experts in and around Boston to talk about their businesses. Mark will find out what sets these companies apart from their competition and how they have risen above the inevitable challenges they have faced along the way to their ultimate success. And now, here's your host, Mark Condon.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to episode 86 of Boston's Best, brought to you by Condon Productions. The goal of this podcast is to highlight businesses in and around Boston. My guest on today's podcast is Mary DeMauro. Mary is the owner of On the Road Again Bags. On the Road Again minimizes waste going into our landfills by upcycling these durable materials into handcrafted goods. She started the company 4 years ago and is based out of Hudson. Mary is a lifelong New Englander. She owns the house she grew up in and learned the trade of sewing from her mom, who was a seamstress. Mary's mom became the well-known seamstress in town, and growing up, Mary would help her make crafts out of the fabric. In this episode, Mary shares with us that there are over 250,000 tons of textile waste produced each year in Massachusetts alone. So Mary was looking for product that was already out there sitting in warehouses just going to landfills called dead stock. So her mission was to find these materials that she could use and upcycle them. And be sure to listen to the end as Mary shares the advice she gives someone looking to start their own business, what she would tell her 18-year-old self, and how she defines success in any given year. And so, with that introduction, I hope you enjoy this episode of Boston's Best. Good morning. This week we have Mary DeMauro. Mary is the owner of On the Road Again Bags. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Thanks for coming on Boston's Best. I'm glad we were able to connect.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited to be here. So thank you very much.
Absolutely. So before we get into the company itself, give us a little background on you. Are you from around here, from Massachusetts?
Yes, I am. I'm actually from Hudson, Mass. I own the house I grew up in still. Wow. And yeah.
Nice. Okay. Okay. So didn't come from another state or anything like that. You're born and raised in Massachusetts.
That's right.
Nice. I'm in Framingham. So we're fairly close to each other. So give us, before you started the company, give us a little background on that. Like, did you go to school? Did you have another job? You know, give us a little background.
Sure. Yeah. I've been in retail sales prior to the IT industry and things like that. But yep. My mom was a seamstress. So, you know, okay. I've always been around sewing growing up, and I used to help her and things like that. So sewing was just part of my life growing up because my mom did it actually out of our house. So, okay. That's just some of the things that I've been around, but I do have a retail background. I do have experience in selling to consumer goods and big box retail.
Okay. So what led you to finally decide to just start your own business?
Yeah. So really what it was I was looking for different types of materials that were already being produced because there's so much waste out there. You know, textiles is one of the biggest wastes. And in Massachusetts alone, there's like 250,000 tons of textile waste produced each year. So I was really looking for a product that was already out there that's called dead stock, meaning materials that are sitting in warehouses waiting to go to landfills. So I was really looking to find stuff that was already there that we could use versus having to go produce new materials or new fabric. So that was my mission in starting the company.
Oh, okay. Wow. 250,000 tons every year. That's wild. I had no idea it was that high. Wow. So where's all this dead stock stored? Just warehouses throughout the country or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So right. There's people right here in New England or across the states. So there's a lot of different dead stock in New York in the garment district. It's like it's more prevalent and well known now that there's actually stores called like Fab Scrap that actually take a lot of the dead stock that was sitting in warehouses and they sell it now so that you as a consumer can go in and buy materials from them, from even some designers or stuff. But before it would either sit in the warehouses or it would go to incinerators where they would literally just burn the stuff and it would just go to waste. Then you're putting chemicals into the air and into the environment and things like that.
Wow. Okay. So when did you decide to start On the Road Again Bags?
I started back like in 2017, 2018. I started dabbling in 2017, looking at different names. And then I found a another maker who makes truck tarps that was based right in Clinton, Mass, which is the next town over to Hudson. And he had some durable materials and some remnants. And I was like, I'm going to go talk to this guy to see if we can maybe work together to see if I can get some of his scraps or materials that I can repurpose. Okay. Well, lo and behold, I go there. He actually was doing that himself. So he was making the truck tarps and any leftover scraps he was making bags with. But they were really not that fashion forward. And he was using the Kadora material, which is a durable water-resistant material, as the premise of his bag and not using the mesh. And I really felt that he was kind of missing the mark because really a durable beach bag that's water resistant, you would want to use like the mesh portion of what he was using. And so I said, well, can you make a bag for me? And he said, sure. So then that's how we started working together.
Oh, okay. So my next question was going to be why bags? Like why, you know, like how do you end up with bags? I wasn't really sure. Okay.
Yep. And that's kind of how it started and then it was really cool, the elements that came from a truck tarp. So the durable materials that I use is used in the trucking and the boating industry. And so the durable mesh, the water resistant fabric, and then there were grommets there's a D-rings that go around the perimeter of the truck tarp. So I said, I'm going to incorporate these cool elements into the design of the bag. So he gave me a bunch of materials. I came home that night. I was so excited. I sat at my kitchen table and I cut the pieces up and put components together for a bag using the mesh as the premise of the bag. Yeah.
Wow. Nice.
And okay. So that's how it kind of gets started. Right. And then I brought the stuff back to him and then we did a prototype of the bag together.
Okay. Okay. Nice. So how long does it take to make a bag? Are you doing all these by hand yourself?
Yes, I initially was when I started back in 2018 making the bags. And then demand started to build. I attended one of my first trade shows. But what I did was I registered and trademarked the name On the Road Again because I was very nervous going to a show, you know, just with people, you know, looking at copyright infringements or things like that. So, you know, the funny thing is that I was actually speaking to my sister when I was driving to the truck tarp maker to have him make this prototype bag with me. And then she's the one, because I'm like, oh my gosh, this material, it's fantastic. It's going to make a great beach bag. And, it, you know, it's used in the trucking and boating industry. And then she blurts out On the Road Again. And I'm like, no way. So that night I went home and I went to the USPTO, you know, website and I searched for that name and someone had registered it, but they let the registration run out. So I snagged it right there on the spot.
No, that was good. You literally just took the next question. How do you end up with the name? How do you end up with the
name? So that's how it happened.
That's pretty cool.
My sister, you know, actually came up with it and it was like, I'm like, this name is perfect because it's like dual purpose. Because there are people like me that are on the road all the time. You know, like I've probably driven, you know, I drive so many miles. I've flown like a million miles. Then there's also the name too, On the Road Again. So we're taking stuff that's already there and we're putting it back on the road. So the name was just perfect. It was just perfect. And people get it. They're like, oh my God, no way. A lot of people are like, oh, Willie Nelson, you know, and On the Road Again, the song.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, yeah, sure. I'd love to use that as my theme, you know, but I'd have to get, you know, copyrights from Willie, but that's how the name came about. So it was just cool. Like, you know, my sister is very clever and she just can think really quick on her feet. And I'm like, ooh, that's a catchy name. So I did register the trademark. So it is a registered trademark, On the Road Again. It just goes well with what we're doing.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. It lines up perfect. It's a phrase that a lot of people are familiar with in general. So it just kind of flows. Yeah. It flows really well. When you started this, what are some of the early challenges you faced starting, you know, your own business, but what are some of the early successes that you experienced as well to realize that it's a viable business for yourself going forward?
Yes. You know, it's a great question because you always sometimes don't foresee some of the challenges you run into. So you're very excited. You have a business, you have a product that you're selling and it's selling and people love it. But the challenge was for me, was the colorways. So at first, the truck tarp maker had this very nice tan mesh and it was beautiful. It made, you know, not only do I do tote bags, but I do durable placemats that you can use indoor, outdoor, on your boat, in, you know, at your camper. And people love that tan color mesh. But then once it ran out, you know, because it's dead stock material that you only have limited quantities, then you don't have any more. So then people are like, well, I want that bag. And it's like, oh, I can't get that. anymore.
So
that became a challenge very quickly that I was like, how do I overcome this? So that's why I have to clearly articulate on our website, on our marketing materials, that these are limited edition. Yeah. So right now, for example, the colorway that we have is a black mesh. It's beautiful. It's black. It's got almost every colorway woven into the mesh. So that's what we have right now. And that's what we've been using. But maybe by the end of this year, we won't have that colorway anymore. And then we have to go and find some more, dead stock. And then that's the colorway. So that can be a challenge. But to some people, it's not, because they can understand or appreciate that it's upcycled. We're taking materials that are already there. You could have this now. It might not be here 6 months from now.
Right.
So just then really clearly articulating that, because that did become a challenge for me.
Yeah, that makes all the sense in the world. I didn't even think of that. Because there's really no way that you can go in, you find something, know how long it's going to last you, right? It's not like, oh, I'll use this for this year and start something else next year. There's really no way of knowing how long something's going to last for you.
Exactly. So the great thing is that that people have been receptive to it. They love the upcycled repurposing of materials that are already out there. Even our seatbelt webbing handles. So they're made out of remnant seatbelt, so that didn't pass using it in an aircraft or a car. So we take these large rolls of remnant seatbelt webbing, and then we use that for our handles. The seatbelt webbing is a woven material, which is very durable. But again, it's leftover seatbelt webbing. We upcycle it, and then we use it for our bags.
Oh, okay. So, and how early on did you realize that this was I knew you started selling bags pretty quickly. How early on did you realize that this was going to be like a good business for yourself? Like, how quickly do you think it was a success?
I think at the first trade show that I did, after I, registered the name, and people were like, oh, wow, this is a great bag. It makes a big, great beach bag. And that's pretty much what the premise of the bag is. The sand can come through it. Yeah. You can literally hose the bag down. And it's not like some other bags where if it gets wet, it stains. You literally can hose this bag down, submerge it in water and rinse it out and just hang it to dry. And it'll last. This material is used on the back of dump trucks. So it's outside in the elements all the time. So I'm like, this would make a perfect beach bag.
Yeah.
So I knew, seeing the success coming out of that show, because it was different, it was unique. There are other bag makers in New England, and, Canvas is very popular in New England. There's the upcycled sail bags up in Maine that are very, they have done phenomenal. So I know people resonate with the upcycled aspect of having, products that are upcycled.
Yeah. And I can't stand when sand at the beach gets just stuck in onto everything. It's just one of my biggest pet peeves. I just can't stand it at all. So it's good material that you have that makes a lot of sense. Outside of the trade shows, because I imagine, I don't know, maybe this year you can start doing them, but trade shows, I imagine, have kind of gone by the wayside over the last couple of years with everything that's gone on, right?
Yes. That has been a challenge. So I, in the beginning, I did every pop-up event, every trade show, SOA in Boston, the Profound Market right out here in the Metro West here, the Profound Market, all these great shows, and everything shut down. So luckily I was already on Shopify, my storefront. So I already had that. And so I didn't have to pivot and change as much as some other people did if they relied on just in-person markets or events. So I already had my store. So then my store sales accelerated. And one of the highlights of my, let's say, my journey here was being able to reach out to Doug Meehan on Channel 5 News. And he has a segment called Made in Mass. And I was able to get featured on March 16th on 2020. And then right after the segment aired, the country shut down. Oh. So it was it was wonderful, but then it was also so devastating at the same time. So you have these trials and tribulations. So it was challenging during the pandemic, and we still see challenges right now because of just if you source materials like we do, we buy all U.S. made grommets. So all of our components are U.S. made. So that's one of the key things that we look at too. So sometimes it can be a challenge getting your components, and especially during the height of the pandemic, it made it very challenging to even produce the products and then get it out the door. And then after airing, I did get quite a few orders, and I'm like, how am I going to make this myself? How am I going to fill all these orders? a lot of the people were very understanding and supportive and said, no, take as long as you need. Yeah. Understand, you know, I'm not going anywhere. I don't need my beach bag right now. So yeah, definitely fill the order when you can. So that was wonderful. But I did lose a lot of sales too. And it is what it is. And I understand, you know, I understand that some people did come back around, but, you know, I just think it's lessons learned. And you just, you know, who could ever predict that this would happen, you know, as you're starting your business. But Shopify is my e-commerce store because it's a great platform for small businesses like myself. It's very turnkey to get your business up and running and have a e-commerce site if you're actually selling a physical goods or even services too. So I just find that they just do a great job with that.
That's awesome. So you have the Shopify. Trade shows are kind of wary right now, but like, how else are you kind of marketing yourself? You use social media a lot?
Yeah, so I do use social media. So I do the different platforms to, you know, to kind of put myself out there or have tools that people can find us, whether it's Facebook, Instagram. I'm really looking at TikTok, but that's just been interesting. I've been dabbling with one toe in that space. You know, you don't have to dance to be a success on TikTok. You really don't. You can just you know, get out there and put yourself out there.
I'm not on TikTok myself. I'm not old, but I'm almost 38. I just feel like TikTok's like, you know, when Facebook first came out, when I was probably 20, like it felt weird if my parents were on Facebook. Now I feel like I'm like the weird guy if I'm on TikTok and you got like all these teenagers that are on TikTok, you know, like I've thought about getting an account. I don't really know anything about it. I just haven't taken the time to do it. But I've thought about promoting Boss's Best on TikTok, and I just haven't done it yet. So I can relate. I can totally relate.
Yes, but it definitely is the place to be now because it was Facebook, then it was Instagram. I mean, Instagram still, but right now it's like it's definitely the place to be. So I'm definitely looking at what I can do to promote my business more on there. So I've seen a lot of other businesses have success on there. So it's my goal.
It's all about the algorithms. Like you're right. Like Facebook was the first one. I feel like Facebook's kind of dead as far as like promoting businesses and stuff. Like I could be wrong, but like then it was Instagram and now TikTok's the new cool one with all the algorithms and you know, to help. So you got, whatever you got to do what you got to do to promote it.
Exactly. But the interesting thing is it's like my demographics skew a little older, so they are on Facebook still.
Oh,
so my
customers
skew a range. So it's really interesting when you do your analysis or you look at where your customers are coming from and you know who watches the news anymore. So that's why I was surprised that I had the success that I did. Well, it does skew older demographics. And you know, so it is good to understand where your sales come from, who your customer is, and where the demographics is so that you can cater to it. So whether I will be successful on TikTok or not, but there's every generation on TikTok, actually. You'd be amazed and surprised. But I know that my demographics are still with Facebook more. Yeah. And then there is Instagram, you know, is a great platform to really help brands. And so, you know, it's been good. So, you know, it just allows you to continue to grow and stretch out of your comfort level. So.
Yeah. I can see. Yeah. Facebook is if your clientele is a little bit of the older demographic, I can see that totally. My parents, my aunts and uncles, they're all over Facebook, but none of them are on Instagram. And I feel like I'm like all Instagram, but I'm not on TikTok. And I feel like that's, it's different like segmentations, different, you know, demographics for each platform usually. I mean, you work a ton, right? So how do you manage your calendar? You know, if people looking to start their own businesses, like how do you manage your calendar with the seemingly never ending demands for yourself?
Right. Yes. It is a challenge because in the beginning, like, you know, in 2018, 2019, it's like it was nonstop. It's like 7 days a week you're working. You definitely need to manage your time and keep a great calendar, you know, and I was keeping a calendar, a journal version, and then on my phone. But I find the calendar on my phone works the best because it, you know, I have my phone with me all the time. Yeah. So the reminders are coming up so that I can, you know, ensure that, you know, the things that I need to do. But it's constant, you know, it's updating your website. It's making sure you have enough product or inventory. It's like putting out your social media content. You know, you're doing everything, you know, you are the maker, the shipper, the packer, you're doing the social media content, you know, you're taking your own photos and everything. Like in the beginning, all my photos were just of my bag because like it was me taking those pictures, you know? Right. And so, and then it was like, oh, I can hire somebody and then I can start being the face of the brand and getting more, you know, brand sessions done. Yeah. But it's all baby steps to get you to where you want to go and where you, you know, would like to go with your brand and your business. I'm just thrilled and just amazed at what I've been able to do in the last 4 years. And that's some of the things I think business people don't do. They don't give themselves like a pat on the back or give themselves enough credit to say, you know, look at how far you have come, even though, you know, if you're able to grow your revenue, even if it's small year over year, you know, that's an accomplishment, especially in challenging times.
Yeah.
And then being able to say, you know, look, I was able to do this. I'm on campingworld.com, you know, with my products. I was able to pitch to, you know, Marcus Lemonis of The Prophet and, you know, the CEO of Camping World. I was able to, you know, get to the next round of Shark Tank, you know, and submit a video submission. You know, I was able to look at, you know, now just continuing to expand and grow my product, you know. So you have to look at your accomplishments too and just say, look at how far I have come in 4 years. And even though it's hard, it's challenging, it's some weeks are 24/7, you know, because you're working during the day, you're making the product, and then you're at night doing your social media, you know, or you're doing things and putting out your posts. But some of the key things that I've learned is outsourcing.
Yeah.
So you definitely want to like get your help, you know, hire someone maybe to help you if you're not proficient at social media, you know, outsource some of the things, hire a branding session to do photography. You know, if you want to be the face of the brand, like I am, even though I'm a salesperson, I never want to be in front of the camera. I want to be behind the camera, but I've really had to push myself to get out of my comfort zone so that I could be the face of the brand because I'm like, why am I going to put, you know, even though I love working with influencers and other people, but really I'm the face of the brand. And I really had to push myself out of my comfort zone in order to put myself in the pictures.
Yep.
And it took me a few years to get comfortable with that.
I believe it. I believe it. Absolutely. I'm the same way. I totally get it. But if you're going to try to grow your business, you need to push yourself outside of your comfort zones little by little, you know, and to what you said earlier, people don't give themselves enough pats on the back. Like, oh, like I only did X amount today or X amount this month. It's like, yeah, but we're like in relation to what you, when you started this 2 years ago, like you would have killed to have a day like you just had today, you know? So like, it's hard to notice the little changes from, but if you look back far enough and you can see where you've come, like give yourself a half a day, you know, like sleep in one more, like give yourself a little bit pat on the back that you've done a lot, especially if you're wearing a lot of hats and you're a sole prop doing things all on your own. Like you got to give yourself a little bit of a pat on the back, you know? So to what you said earlier, you know, you've been doing this for 4 years now. What do you see, I guess, for the next 4 years and the future of On the Road Again?
Yeah. I mean, I think I see some great things, you know, since I came from a traditional retail background, I know the challenges and the rewards that come with that. So like my dream would be to be in Macy's, you know, with my bag, especially the Liberty bag, the red, white, and blue. I can just see my bag being in Macy's, and whether it's a stocking SKU or an in and out program, but that would be a thrill for myself. Like that's a goal. I would love to see my bags in Macy's or, or, you know, Neiman Marcus or a big box retailer like that. So that is something I aspire to, since I do know retail, but you know, direct to consumer sales, you can be very successful at too. And there are some people that are so good at that. And so that's one of the things that I really would like to continue to build is my direct to consumer business. I do, you know, the bulk of my sales do come from my website and direct to consumer, but really being able to expand that and build that. But my goal would be to get inside of Macy's. I would love to be in Camping World in their stores. I'm on their website right now on their .com only, but the goal would be to be in Camping World with my placemats in all stores.
Yeah. Well, how many Camping World locations are there?
I believe there's over 200.
Wow.
There's over 200 locations. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That'd be huge. That'd be huge. That's awesome. So you clearly work a ton outside of working. What are some of the hobbies that you enjoy, you know, when you give yourself an hour or so?
Yes, I actually this year, though, I really have taken some mindful thinking of how to really have more time, you know, carve out more time for myself and be more mindful of that, because you have to really have self-care and make sure you take care of yourself. and you don't get burnt out. Cause I really got to a burnout point where I was working so much and doing shows. But right now, like, I really enjoy walking. I was able to go to auto camp down on the Cape and take a weekend out to kind of just have to myself.
Okay.
And Libby Delana was down there and she does mindful walking. She's walked every day for the last 9 years. And that's just like amazing.
Wow.
I haven't walked in the last week and a half and I really feel bad about it. So my goal is to go out today and go for a walk, but just to go for a walk. And really it's, and she said, yes, you can listen to a podcast or do something, but it's really to listen to what's around you and to see what's around you and really have mindful thinking. And so that's what I've been doing this year more. And trying to really put in more self-care, but really mindful walking. And mindful walking or thinking has been around for some time, but it's really just so that you can really have just time for yourself.
Yeah. So I love that concept. I mean, yesterday and today would be great days to do it here in New England. Probably like 60 right. degrees tomorrow, but it's been in the 50s the last couple of days, which is fantastic. And I think more so than ever over the last couple of years with just COVID, like I think a lot of people realize, like, I was always hustling and bustling, going in and out of Boston. Now, like, I'm working from home. I take walks around my neighborhood all the time. I usually have my dog who's in the background here with me for walks. So what's mindful walking? Is that what you said she's done it every day for the last 9 years? Like, does she go for like a certain period of like a certain, like 20 minutes, a mile, or is it just kind of whatever she feels that day? Or, and, you know, for yourself as well, like what's the difference between what's mindful walking, I guess, as far, is there like a time or distance you're trying to get?
Yeah, no, mindful walk, like for her, she does like some serious miles, but she says you don't have to, you can walk for 20 minutes,
okay.
But it's more of just like letting things go. Like, yeah. Let's say if, you know, something had transpired or something had happened and when you go for the walk, it's almost like you release that and yeah. just let that go or don't, you know, don't dwell on things and try to be more cognizant of your surroundings so that a lot of times if you go for a walk, did you even notice the birds or did you hear the brook running that was by the roadside? Did you stop for a moment and kind of just take in the natural surroundings and beauty around you? Because I think we are in a society today that everything is so moving at such a quick, fast pace that we don't take the time to just really absorb our surroundings, you know, yeah. Around us. And hearing yourself walk or crunching in the snow or your steps as you're walking on the, just being like so mindful of those little things and those little details versus like your mind racing and thinking about the next thing that you need to do when you get back or what you yeah. need to do is just kind of like really clearing your mind to just be in the present and in the moment of that walk to yeah. really enjoy what's around you. And then you can have, you know, you're more at one with yourself by the time you get back to your desk or back to whatever you're doing, you know, that's hopefully giving you like more of a clear sense of direction.
I think that's really cool. Cause I struggle with that. I'm always thinking about the next thing I need to do as well. And now what, like we have a nice neighborhood, like, you know, a loop is probably like 15 minutes. Like it's just a nice, so I'll do mm-hmm. one or two loops depending on, you know, what I have going on. And I would always initially would bring my phone with me and I would check it. Like I would just look in my pocket to see what time it was. And it was like, that was literally, I did the same thing 2 minutes ago. Like, why do I need to know? So now I just leave the phone in the house and just really trying to be present in the moments and just, you know, taking a look around.
Yeah.
You know, it was a gorgeous day out yesterday and just, be, you know, was present in the right. moment, you know, enjoyed the 20 minutes, you know, outside that I had. And I think I'm exactly. totally with you. I've been doing that a lot more so in the last 2 years than I have. And it's, I think it's just an awesome thing to do.
Yeah, it is wonderful. And if you do bring your phone, she says that you can bring your phone to take pictures, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. So I, you know, Mary, the last few questions I have that I would love to get your thoughts on is what piece of advice would you give someone who's looking to start their own business?
I'd say the best advice is to really do your research. Definitely look at the onset about, you know, your company name or your brand name. Make sure that you look and see if it's already being used as a registered trademark or not. You know, I think that's one of the key things because a lot of times people come up with an idea or a name for something and then they don't realize and they start using it. And then they don't realize that it could be copyrighted or, you know, it already is in use. And then you yeah. have to change your company name. So I've seen that a few times with other, whether it was a storefront or a different brand. And I think that's one of the key things that I would say is just make sure you do your research and look at, you know, if the names are being used, because even my name, On the Road Again, like you said, it's a catchy little phrase. There are so many people that put it on a tote bag that don't realize that it's trademarked because they think it's a catchphrase. And that happens today with, there are words that you can, or a combination of words you can register and you can trademark those. So I think that's a big one. And then make sure you do have a team of people or resources that you can, you know, utilize or bounce ideas off of. And then, you know, where you can have a team of people that can really help you get your business off the ground that have the knowledge in the different areas.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I think that's a really good piece of advice. I wouldn't even have thought to like look at the trademark and, you know, the registered trademark and all that stuff. I would never even have thought to do stuff like that. So I think that's a really good piece of advice. If you could go back and tell your 18-year-old self one thing, what would you tell her?
Yeah, that I think that you're going to be a success and the hard work and dedication that you put in will pay off. So
that's awesome. So it's hard to realize that when you're just 18, you know, you only have so much life experience in general. So when I have younger people on here, I don't typically like somebody who's like 22. I had somebody on here that I think like just graduated college. Like I'm not going to ask them what they would tell their 18-year-old self, because like they haven't had as much life experience.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I always think it's a good question to ask, because I think as you have more experience and as time goes on, you know, I'm 38, like it was 20 years ago. I've had so many life experiences since then that I wish I knew when I was 18, you know?
And not to worry so much. Like I was such a worry. I worried about everything, every little thing. And so it's just interesting that, you know, and it causes a lot of unnecessary, like, anxiousness or stress that's not needed, you know? And you just, you know, I think when you mature and you realize that, you know, there are things that you can control and then there are things you cannot control. And that that if you can just, you know, go with it.
No, I 100% agree. Totally agree. All right, Mary, last question I ask every guest on Boston's Best. I would love to hear your answer as well. Is everyone has a varying depiction of what success looks like to them. So how would you define success?
I mean, success is doing something that you love, whether you get paid or not for it. And so, yes, the monetary aspect of it is nice, but it's not the only thing. It's the reward of hearing my customers say, oh my gosh, I love this bag, or so-and-so gave it as a gift and they enjoyed the bag. So my definition of success, as long as you're doing something that you truly love, and whether you get paid to do it or not, it's just you're so passionate about what you do that you just enjoy it. And that's awesome. What I'm doing right now. So
that's awesome. Good for you. I'm happy for you. I think it's a fantastic answer. Mary, thank you very much for coming on Boston's Best to chat about On the Road Again bags. I really appreciate the time.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, everyone. I just wanted to say thank you for checking out my podcast. I really do appreciate the love I've received for this show. I believe now more than ever, any exposure to local businesses is great for them to receive, and I'm trying to do my part. If you are a local business owner or someone you know in the Boston area that would like to be featured on the podcast, please email me at bostonsbestpodcast@gmail.com. Also, if you enjoyed this episode, please follow this podcast. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and iHeartRadio. You can also find us on Instagram with the handle @Boston's Best_podcast, as well as Facebook at facebook.com/Boston's Best podcast. Again, I truly appreciate the great feedback for this show, and stay tuned for each new episode every Friday at 8 a.m. Take care.